Let's take the Word of God this morning and let's go to John chapter number 15. John chapter 15, and in just a moment, I want to begin in verse number 1, and I want to read down to verse number 11. I've tried this summer to take a little bit of selected messages and to preach. We'll get back to our series, but I've chosen this because of somewhat the dynamics of this summer. Well, what a blessing it is to be in church today. And I'm asking God to speak to our hearts, to my heart. So often when I am preaching, the Lord is dealing with me. And that's how God's Word works. It's a two-edged sword. And as I am preaching it to you, and hopefully the Spirit of God is using it to pierce your heart, to cut away things in your life, but He is piercing my heart and cutting away things in my life as well. There is nothing more important than that we are in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. I know as a husband with my wife, when we are not in fellowship, it's a terrible thing. Because God meant it to be that they too shall become one. And when my wife and I, almost 20 years now, next month we'll celebrate our 20th anniversary, and seems like it just went by yesterday, you know? But God brought us together and we become one. What hurts her hurts me. What hurts me hurts her. When she sorrows, I sorrow. We are one together. But in a great sense, and even in a greater way, when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you, Bible says, you were born again. That's a Bible term. Or what the Bible says also, we are born of above. We are also adopted into the family of God. Christ comes to indwell us in the form of the Holy Spirit. We are in Christ. That's a wonderful analogy. But brethren, just because we are in Christ doesn't mean that we are in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be married and be out of fellowship with your spouse. And you can be saved this morning, but you are not in fellowship with your Heavenly Father. Well, today may I tell you that the answer is abiding in Christ. And that's what I want to preach to you on this morning. The answer is abiding in Christ. You say, Pastor, I've got issues to deal with in my life. I've got struggles at work. I've got struggles in my family. I've got this issue to deal with. I've got this person to deal with. May I tell you, the answer is abiding in Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean to abide in Christ? Well, God gives us a wonderful story in His Word in John chapter 15. Now, I will say this. The book of John is one of my favorite books in the Bible. But specifically, we look at John chapter 10. That's a wonderful book and wonderful chapter. But John chapters 14, 15, and 16 are very significant for the child of God. In fact, in John chapter 14, it is speaking, or obviously Christ is telling the disciples that He is going to leave them. Soon He is going to go to the cross. He is to bleed and die upon the cross, bear the sin debt of the whole world, and then He is to rise from the grave. But He is going to leave them and go to the Father. But He is going to send the Holy Spirit. And then in John chapter 15, we understand Jesus gives them the answer, the key, I believe, to the Christian life. We look in John chapter 15. Let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 1. The Lord Jesus is speaking and He says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I love that last verse there in verse number 11 that we read, where the Lord talks about the joy of the Lord. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you have the joy of the Lord? Now, joy is so different than happiness. Look, when things happen good to us, we have happiness. For instance, if something great happens at work, or maybe your wife, men, makes you a special meal, you're pretty happy about that. Anytime I get to go to Chick-fil-A, I'm pretty happy about that, all right? Anytime that, you know, I get to spend time with my wife or my family, I have happiness about that. But that is not the same as joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It is only something that God creates within our heart. Joy comes from fellowship with Jesus Christ. Joy comes when we are right with our Heavenly Father, that we are in communion with Him, and that we are in fellowship with Him. There is a joy that you cannot produce and the world cannot give you. I know this. I know what it's like to be alone with God in His Word and to be reading and for the Lord to be speaking to me. Not in an audible voice as I'm speaking to you now, but for God to be speaking to my heart through the pages of Scripture, and then for me to spend time with Him in prayer. There is a joy that you can never, I mean, it's even hard to describe that kind of joy. It's a joy. Brethren, do you know the joy of being right with God? The joy of the fellowship. You say, well, Pastor, what is the answer today? The answer is abiding in Jesus Christ. In fact, God commands us to abide in Him. Now, let me give you the scenario of John chapter number 15. You need to understand that Jesus here has been with His disciples, and they are up in the upper room, and they are there together. They have had what we would call the Lord's table together. Jesus is teaching them. He is instructing them. They have just left the upper room. Soon Jesus is going to be crucified. They are going to take Him and they are going to crucify Him. And that was the plan of God before the foundation of the world. That Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And now Jesus is walking with His disciples. Now you have to understand something. I have never been to what we would call the Holy Land, or the place where Jesus walked physically. But they tell me that when you're walking through that area where Jesus was in the city of Jerusalem, they are on their way to Gethsemane. Now we know what happens in Gethsemane. There, Jesus in the garden at Gethsemane, he is going to pray with great sweat drops of blood. I mean, the agony that Jesus is praying in the garden. They're on their way there. And while they're going there, Jesus is speaking to them. And He is telling them, I am the true vine. Now, why did Jesus use the analogy of vine? The city of Jerusalem had vines all over it. It was very common to see vines anywhere. And Jesus uses, in a sense, an object illustration. And He says to them, I am the true vine. Now, what does the true vine mean? Well, number one this morning, I want you to notice the comparison of the vine and the branches. Jesus gives us a comparison. And He says, I am the true vine. Well, what does that mean? Well, you need to understand, Jesus uses the word true about Himself all the time. For instance, back in John chapter 1, we won't turn there, But in verse number 9 of John 1, Jesus said, I am the true light. And then in John chapter 6 and verse number 32, Jesus said, I am the true bread. And in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 32, he says, I am the true tabernacle. And here in John chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine. Now, it doesn't mean that he is true as an opposite to false. What Jesus is saying is, I am the one and only. He says, there is no other vine except me. There is no other bread except me. There is no other tabernacle except me. In fact, do you know that Israel was a vine in a sense to the Lord? And what that means is you can study God's word and the Lord declares them as a vine. Now, the truth is Israel failed as a vine. And what this means is Israel failed to show to the rest of the world that Jesus Christ was the true and the living way and he was the only true and living God. Israel rejected Jesus. The Bible says he came into his own, and what does the Bible say? And his own received him not. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, but brethren, Jesus said, I am the true vine. What he was saying there was, he says, I am the only perfect, sinless, holy, righteous, and everlasting vine. I am the only one. And brethren, can I tell you today that if we're going to deal with abiding in Jesus Christ, remaining in Christ, we must understand that Jesus is the source. He is the one and only. I want you to know that Jesus was using the analogy of a vine. Now, we could use it in many ways. We could talk about maybe a fruit tree per se. I don't know if you've ever been to Florida and seen the orange trees. I'm going to tell you this. If I lived in Florida, I'd have a yard full of orange trees, you know. I love oranges. And I tell you, we get them wherever we go. I just love oranges. But let's think about an orange tree just for a moment. You know something? That tree is to bear fruit. It is to give forth the fruit. That's the whole purpose of the tree. And by the way, if the tree does not bear fruit, guess what? It's going to be cut down. Why? Because the whole purpose of the tree is to bear fruit. Now, when we look at that tree, see the tree tall and standing, but connected to the tree are the branches. The branches do not produce the fruit. They simply bear the fruit. They simply allow what comes forth from the vine or the tree itself to send forth the food, the minerals, the sustenance, the water into the branches that the branches might bear the fruit. Well, Jesus says in comparison, I am the vine. I am the tree. And every one of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are branches. We are to bear fruit. And by the way, if you want to have joy in your Christian life, there is no joy unless you are bearing the fruit that God produces through your life. I want to be a joy-filled Christian. Have you ever met a Christian before that they are just not a happy, joy-filled Christian? Have you ever met someone like that before? Man, I have. I almost want to tell them, don't tell anybody that you're saved because nobody wants what you have. Because, man, you act so depressed and so downcast. I mean, I want to say to him, don't you know that you're a child of God? Don't you know that you can pray to your Heavenly Father and you're going to live for all of eternity with Jesus Christ? Now, look, we all go through times when we bear things and we go through valleys and trials, but we are to bear the fruit. You see, the comparison that is used here, Jesus is saying, I am the vine. I am the only source. There is no other source but me. I am the source of all the branches. And I am the source of your spiritual life. Everything you need is from Jesus Christ. He is the vine. He is the source. And as the branch depends upon the vine for food and sustenance, so we are to depend upon Jesus Christ. Now, in John chapter 15, we see three different figures. We see Jesus, he's the vine, or we would say he's the tree, he's the source. Then we see God the Father as the husbandman. Now, what is that word? It simply means gardener. He is the one who does the pruning. He is the one that cuts away the things that do not belong there. Then there is us. We are the branches. Do you know something? As a branch, you cannot produce fruit on your own, and you cannot prune on your own. A branch cannot do it. I'm sure that you have landscape at your house, maybe different trees or different types of plants or what it may be. When I was in high school, I worked with a guy that had a landscape business. That guy about killed me working landscape. I want you to know that. In fact, the only time I fell asleep behind the wheel was after working for a whole week in the hot Tennessee sun. I was in high school, and we worked, I mean, long days. That guy was like an animal, man. He was like a worker. And, I mean, we'd start early in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and work till 5 or 6 in the afternoon. And, man, I'm telling you, I was tired. And I was the one who carried the stone and the dirt and the mulch and all that kind of stuff. And but I remember going home one day, I was behind someone, I was tired, and man, it was Friday, worked all week long, and next thing I know, I ended up in a ditch, you know, and all of that. But you know something, I can remember he taught me about pruning, and he showed me how to use a certain pruning tool to prune a tree so that new life comes forth from that. And he would show me, he would say, Aaron, here's a dead limb right here on this tree. And he said, it's not going to produce anything until we cut it off. He said, but when we cut it off, new life is going to come from that. And he would show me when we would cut it, then I could see a little green in there. And he says, now new life is going to come. Well, here the same analogy is, the comparison is that Jesus is the vine. He's the source of all our spiritual strength. And we are the branches, and we are to be dependent upon Jesus Christ, because it is only through Him that we can have joy and fulfillment in life. But God the Father is the husbandman. He is the one who is continually watching our lives. He is pruning things and fertilizing things. He is caring for every branch. Why? Because He knows that we need to produce fruit. Do you want to produce fruit, by the way? What does the Bible say in Galatians chapter number 5? It talks about, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. That's a part of the fruit that God wants us to bear. You cannot bear that fruit of your own. You must allow that to come from within. And that is coming from Jesus Christ. I've had people say, well, I just don't feel very loving toward that person. That's the natural man. And we all have that old flesh that dwells within us. But brethren, when we yield to Jesus Christ, when we surrender to Him, He enables us. He gives us the strength to love. He gives us the strength to forgive. He gives us the strength to be long-suffering and gentle and good. It is the fruit of the Spirit within us. And by the way, you know what the fruit is of also of a Christian? Is another Christian. I had people tell me this week at Neighborhood Bible Time, and they said, boy, Pastor, it was such a blessing. I know Casey Paxman, and she told me about a young boy that got saved in her class. And she said, Pastor, it was such a blessing to see him come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior and to receive Christ. She said, there was such a peace that came over him. Can I tell you what that is? Brother, that's the joy that God puts in a heart when you come to know Christ as your Savior. You see, this is the comparison of the vine and the branches. Number two, I want you to notice the cleansing done by the husbandman. Now let's go back in John chapter 15, because I want to clarify something that could be or seem a little confusing. And I want you to notice this. John chapter number 15. And I want you to look at a couple of things here in verse number 2. Notice what the Bible says. Every branch, now that's you and me, in me that beareth not fruit. Notice these phrases. He taketh away. Let's read on. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now remember that phrase. If we are not bearing fruit, The Bible says, he taketh away. Now let's go to verse number 6 and notice this. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now look up here, and I want to say this to you. Some people may think, well, Pastor, verse number 2 says, he taketh away. And verse number 6 talks about that here it is, he is cast forth, taketh away and cast forth as a branch, and then men gather them and they are burned. Does that mean, Pastor, that if we are not abiding in Jesus Christ, we are not in fellowship and in communion with him, that we lose our salvation, and it means that one day we're going to be burnt in the lake of fire? Is that what that means? No, it is not what that means. John chapter 15 is not about salvation. It is about stewardship. It is about sanctification. Brother, I want you to know something today, that you and I are safe in Jesus Christ if you know him as your Savior. In fact, would you go back to John chapter 10? And I want to show this to you. John 10, verse number 28. And then once we're done here, we're going to go over and compare Scripture with Scripture. Look, that is the way that we understand the Word of God. Do you know that every false doctrine out there that claims that, hey, we believe the Bible, you know what they've done? They've taken verses and lift them out of context and built a religion on that. We have to study Scripture with Scripture. What does the Bible have to say? Well, John chapter 10, notice what the Bible says in verse number 27. John 10, 27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And look what he says in verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Boy, I'm going to tell you, what a great promise that is right there. If you're a child of God this morning, the Bible says that he has given to us eternal life. That means eternal life, we're going to live forever with Jesus in heaven for all of eternity. And the Bible says we will never perish. Well, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look here, that means that we will not perish and spend eternity in a lake of fire for all of eternity. But the Bible says no man will be able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. You cannot lose your salvation, and no one can take it from you. That is the promise in God's Word. So therefore, well, Pastor, what does it mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I want to show you what this means. Brethren, if you are a child of God this morning, God the Father is your heavenly gardener. And you know what he does? He sees what you cannot see. He sees below the surface. He sees the weeds that are growing up. He sees the dangerous plant that is on you. I don't know if you've ever seen different things, but in Tennessee, I mean, I grew up in the woods. I lived in the woods almost, you know. And, talk about ticks. I grew up with ticks. Ticks were my best friend, you know, growing up in Tennessee. And, you know, I'd take them off my dog and take them off myself, you know. It's just kind of what we did at the end of the day, you know. It was kind of a good pastime, whatever it may be. But I can remember growing up and being in the woods, and sometimes we would see a tree that it was obvious that some kind of disease had infected that tree. And there was something within it that had killed it and destroyed it. You know something? God, the Heavenly Father, who is our husbandman, he is our gardener. Can I tell you what he does? He knows what is best for our lives. He knows what needs to be pruned away from us. So let me tell you what he does. In order for us to bear fruit, there are times when the Heavenly Father has to chasten you and me. It's a part of our spiritual growth, and it's the heavenly discipline that God does for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look in verse number 19. Notice what the Bible has to say here. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19, For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Verse number 20 says this, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, the Bible says in verse 21, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. Now let's read on here, and let's go down to verse number 25, if you would. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But look what it says here. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Do you know what the word castaway means? It means disapproved. Brethren, we must all understand that Christ here is speaking in John chapter 15 of a branch that is not bearing fruit. A branch that does not have the joy of the Lord. A branch that does not have the love of Jesus Christ. A branch that does not have long suffering. You see, it is a branch that has ceased to abide, to remain, to depend upon Jesus Christ. And now, guess what he has to do? He has to take it away. He has to cast it forth as a branch. God is saying, when we are not bearing fruit, when we are not remaining and abiding in Jesus Christ, he disciplines us. He chastens us. He corrects us. Why? Because he loves us. And because he knows what is best for our lives. Do you know, there is a possibility for every one of us to become disapproved as a Christian. Now that doesn't mean we lose our salvation. That doesn't mean we can never serve God. But it means this. God, in a sense, has to put us on a shelf per se. He has to let us get a little hungry for him in order that we might bear fruit once again. All of us here know of times in your life and in my life when we've gotten out of fellowship with God and we are not bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. We are miserable per se. Oh, we're still in Christ. We have not lost our salvation, but we are away from God. And God looks at us and sees us as a branch, and we are not bearing fruit. So in love, can I tell you what he does? In love, at times, God the Father has to cleanse our lives by spraying us sometimes with water, the water of affliction, sometimes bringing sorrow to our lives to show us what is really wrong. Do you know, so often the symptoms that you and I are dealing with are only symptoms of a deeper need, a deeper problem. That is, our fellowship is not right with God. We are out of fellowship with him. For instance, the literal vine on earth will not bear fruit if there is disease, if there are insects, or if there is drought. And sometimes in your life and in my life, we are not bearing fruit. We are away from Jesus Christ. No, we haven't lost our salvation. But in a sense, we are not connected to the source. The one who gives us the strength. The one who gives us joy. And the one who gives us fulfillment. The one who enables us to be the dad and the husband and the wife and the mother that we need to be and that God has called us to be. We cannot bear the fruit of our own. But God in his love chastens us, so that we will bear fruit. Take your Bibles, go to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter 1. I want to show this to you. Notice what the Bible says here. You know, in the natural vineyard, a husbandman, a gardener, would spray the water with would spray the branches with water and some type of cleanser to wash away the insects and the blight and the drought. But brethren, you and I are purged by another way. Do you understand how important it is for you to be faithful to the house of God? Now, brethren, you're here this morning, and I thank God for you, and I'm so glad that you're here. But do you know that when you come to the house of God, do you know what you're doing? You're allowing the heavenly husbandman, the gardener, to do some pruning in your life. He sprays that water upon your life. He cleanses you. He washes you. He shows you things in your life. In a sense, he shows you beneath the surface. And he says, this is wrong. This is not right. And you've got to get this right. And you're at odds with your brother. You're at odds with your spouse. You're at odds with the coworker. You're not trusting me. You're not being dependent upon me. And we see that we are not bearing fruit. And we know it. Oh, brethren, God the Father loves you and me, and he cleanses us. He purges us. 1 John chapter 1, look in verse number 5. The Bible says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And look what it says. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and that means if you're abiding in Jesus Christ, then notice what it says. You say you abide in him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The Bible goes on to say in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, can you think of the analogy of the tree in the light of the sunshine? It's drinking in all of the sun, the nutrients. The Bible goes on to say, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, verse 7, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say, verse 8, that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now go back to John chapter 15 because I want to show this to you. Brethren, the Heavenly Father, who is your heavenly gardener, is constantly looking after the branches of the living vine. Do you know that the eyes of God are upon you this morning? God sees you. Have you ever thought before, Lord, do you even know where I'm at? God, do you know what's going on? God knows what's going on. And you may think, God, where are you? God's right there. And it could be the very thing that you are dealing with is the very tool that God is using to prune and to cut away things in your life. In fact, the Bible says that we are to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we are to be doing that. But the Bible goes on to talk about that we are to run the race that is set before us. But we are, in a sense, we are to lay aside the things that hinder us, the weights and the burdens upon our lives. In fact, the Bible says that we are to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You see, brethren, sometimes, do you know what we do? We pick up weights. Now, the weight is not necessarily a sin, but it is something that hinders our abiding in Christ. It hinders our fellowship with Jesus Christ. It's just a weight, and it weighs you down in a sense. Jesus is walking, and we want to follow him, but we can't follow him because we're weighted down with something that is upon us that God says, lay that aside. This morning, do you have some weights that are keeping you from the house of God? Keeping you from time in prayer and keeping you from reading the Bible? Do you have some weight today that is hindering your walk and fellowship with God? What do we need to do, Pastor? Lay it aside. But then God talks about the sin which does so easily beset us. Do you know that each and every one of us here this morning, we have what's called besetting sins? You know what that means? It means sins that you are easy to succumb to. For instance, all right, let me just use a simple analogy. Every illustration has its limitation, okay? But I'll do my best, all right? Let's say that the doctor told me that, son, no more fried chicken and sweet tea, all right? I'd just say, Lord Jesus, send me home now, you know? But even so, come Lord Jesus, you know? But anyway, let's just say that the doctor told me that. And if he did, I'd get another doctor. But anyway, let's just take for instance, all right? The doctor said, hey, this stuff's killing you. You know, I'd rather die happy than die hungry, all right? But anyway, so the doctor said that to me. Now look, you know I like chicken and sweet tea. I mean, that's a part of being a Baptist preacher. I mean, that's just it, you know? And so let's just say that. But I told my wife, I said, honey, now look, I can't have this. It's going to kill me. But let's just say that when I'm around Chick-fil-A, I go to Chick-fil-A and I just go in there just to smell things, you know? I just sit in there. I'm going to read my Bible in Chick-fil-A, you know? And, well, you know the story. Guess what? Eventually, I'm going to get chicken because I'm smelling it. I'm seeing people eating it. And I look at the sweet tea. I see it. I'm thinking about it. I will succumb soon. The Bible says that we all have sins which beset us. You know what it does? It gets you off track in your Christian life. It causes you not to bear fruit as a child of God. And we are to lay aside the weight and the sin. Look here, brethren. The Lord loves us tonight, or this morning. He sees us this morning. He knows every detail about your life. He wants you to bear fruit. But He knows what He needs to bring. And that heavenly gardener sometimes, as He's looking at our lives, He sees something. Oh boy, that's not going to help them grow. And they're not going to like this. And by the way, that cutting away hurts sometimes. It's painful. So God prunes and He purges with the spray of affliction. And sometimes with deep sorrow and grief, in order to draw our hearts to Himself. He breaks our hearts in a way to increase us to bear fruit for Him. Oh, brethren, God wants us to bear fruit. And it is only as we bear fruit that we bring glory to our Heavenly Father. The cleansing that is done by the heavenly gardener. God will purify us this morning so that we will be useful. Do you know that a branch that is not bearing fruit, can I tell you what it is? It's useful. It's useless. It's really good for nothing. In fact, the Bible says it is good for nothing. We take it and we gather them as sticks and they are burned. The analogy here is sticks that are not bearing fruit, they're of no use. We break them off. We burn them in the fire. God is not saying we lose our salvation, but He is saying we are not useful in the service of God. Brethren, God wants to make us useful, and He will take away that which hinders us. Now, go back to John chapter 15, because I want to show this to you. How does this purifying take place? I love it. Look what it says in verse number 3. He says this. Well, let's start in verse number 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. By the way, purging is for the fruit bearing and the non-fruit bearing. Oh, God knows. He knows what we can do for Him. He knows what we are capable of. And by the way, Philippians 4:13, I can do what? All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But look in verse number 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Go on, if you would please, and see some things here that the Bible tells us in verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Do you know that that is, in a sense, a blank check before God? God, in a sense, signs the check and says, whatever you ask for, I'll do it. Now you say, wow, that sounds like a great deal, but here's the issue. When we are abiding in Him, when the Word of God is within our hearts through our reading it and studying it and hearing it preached and we are getting God's word in our heart, it cleanses us. It purges us in a sense. And God allows affliction and sorrow and trials to purge more out of our lives, to draw us near to Him. He knows that when we are not near Him, we will not receive the strength. We're just an old dead branch. But with Jesus enabling us, He enables us to forgive. He enables us to love. He enables us to do what He has called us to do. Everything God has called you to do, He does it through you as you abide in Him. But let me say this. When we are in fellowship with God, we are loving Him and walking with Him, it is only then that we will pray in the will of the Heavenly Father. You know, there's been many times when I prayed to consume it upon my lust. In fact, the Bible says, ye have not, one reason, because ye ask not. But another reason, ye have not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Look, a lot of times we pray selfish praying, but when we are abiding in Christ, we are loving Him and in fellowship with Him. You know what? The Spirit of God within us shows us what to pray for. And brethren, when we are praying in accordance to God's will, you can mark it down. It will be done. That's God's promise to you and me. We see the comparison. We see the cleansing. But number three, we see the command to all believers. Do you know what God commands you this morning? Abide. That's all He commands. In fact, I've got good news for you. It is not your responsibility and my responsibility to produce fruit. We do not produce fruit. We bear the fruit. You see, brethren, today I think to myself, well, God, I can't produce joy. Yeah, that's right. God, I can't produce love. No, you can't. God, I can't produce, all the fruit of the Spirit and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. I remember years ago, I tried to work up faith, but I couldn't work up faith. Look here, brethren, you cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You cannot do it. None of us can do it. In fact, He tells us in verse number 5 at the end of it, for without me, ye can do nothing. So the command this morning for me and for all of us is to abide. You see, God wants a clean vessel through whom He can work. This morning someone brought me water, which is a blessing. But you know what? If they'd have brought me water and it was filled with bugs already in it and a dirty glass, I'd have said, hey, thanks but no thanks, you know? You know what? I just need something to contain the water. That's it. The water is life-giving. It's cleansing. The water. And guess what? God wants to, in a sense, allow you to be a glass, a vessel. He'll fill you, but if you are dirty and if you are unclean, and by the way, if you're not staying close to the fountain, you're not going to receive that life-giving water for yourself and for others. Brethren, today, God has called us to abide in the vine. Go back to John chapter 15 and look what it says. Let me just show this to you. Verse number 4. Well, look what it says. Abide in me and I in you. Guess what? There is no question about Christ abiding in us. He does. But the question is, will you abide? Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches, verse 5. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. All throughout this passage, abide, abide. Now what does that word mean? It means a constant remaining. It means a continuing in one identical place without moving. It is abide. It is remain. It is stay right here. It is to be close to Jesus Christ. In a sense, He is saying, cling to me. Cast your whole weight upon me. Let me bear your burdens and carry your load. be rooted in me, be grounded in me. You see, brethren, the vine's purpose is to give forth food and sustenance and strength. Our purpose is to bear the fruit, but we must remain. Go back to me, with me, in the analogy of the fruit tree, the orange tree. Let's go up to the orange tree. It's got all kinds of fruit on it. Looks great. But let's break off a branch. Let's take it off. Disconnect it from the tree. Guess what? It will never produce fruit as long as it is disconnected. Some Christians are so frustrated in their life. Where's the joy in serving Jesus, Pastor? Where's the fulfillment? Where is the divine enablement to love the unlovely? And how can I forgive? And how can I have compassion? And how can I be like Jesus Christ? Do you know that God never asked you and me to live the Christian life? He asked you to let Him live the Christian life through you. That's the key today. The key is to abide. It is to remain. It is to cling to Him. It is to draw near to Him. And by the way, we do that as we read the Word of God. And God's Word gets in our heart and it cleanses us and it draws us near to Him. It's when we pray and we talk to our Heavenly Father. Think of it this way. I love spending time with my wife. No person on the face of the earth I'd rather be with than my wife. I love to be with her. We'll celebrate, I told you, next month, 20 years. What a blessing. I'd like to spend another 120 years, another 1,020, you know? But may I tell you this? The way that my wife and I stay close and stay connected in a sense is we talk to one another. I talk to her, she talks to me. I talk to her, she talks to me. I listen to her, she listens to me. You know what that is? Brethren, that's simply prayer and Bible reading. Prayer is you talking to God, and reading God's Word is God talking to you. You come to the house of God. And by the way, if you read the Word of God, God will tell you exactly what you need to do. You don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You live a separated Christian life. You see, this is how God expected us to live, clinging to Him, drawing near to Him, abiding in Jesus Christ. But brethren, some of us, we don't abide. Oh, we come to church maybe, and I thank God that you come to church. But throughout the week, we don't read, we don't pray, we don't spend time alone with the Lord. We do not draw from Him. No wonder we're so weak. No wonder we do not bear the fruit. No wonder we do not have the joy of the Lord in our Christian life. You see, this is a condition today. We must abide. And by the way, this is not a terrible thing. This is not an ugly thing that the Lord says, come on, you must abide. He says, abide in me. Please abide. I would like to give you strength. I would like to give you sustenance. I would like to give you what you need. What's the answer today? Pastor, I need some help. I need some answers. The answer is Jesus Christ. He is the source. He is the true vine. You know what some of us need to do? Today, when this invitation is given, you know what we ought to do? We ought to, in a sense, say, Lord, I've gotten away from you. By the way, the tree hasn't left. We've disconnected the branch. And we've allowed all kinds of things to distract us and to weigh us down. And we are not bearing fruit. And we know it. Look, this morning, you know if you're bearing fruit or not. And I know it. I know when God is working through me and enabling me, and I know when He is not. And it's not His fault, because He said, abide in me, and I in you. He said, I will always be with you. But the question today is, are you abiding in Jesus Christ? The answer. You say, Pastor, my children, the answer is abiding. Pastor, my job, the answer is abiding. Pastor, this, the answer is abiding. Because when you abide, God gives you wisdom. When you abide, God answers your prayer. When you abide, He leads you. When you abide, He changes you and conforms you to His image. Today, are you abiding in Jesus Christ? It is the answer. Let's bow our heads in prayer.